for the ages. Marco Mira has won the Masters.
As grand as it gets.
The year of the Tiger, again at Augusta.
Another Watson is wearing a green jacket at Augusta.
There it is, Adam Scott.
One of the epic performances in the annals of the sport.
The Mixed Picks Sports Show.
Welcome to the Mixed Picks Sports Show. You can email us, red at radradio.com. Be part of the show also at 888-989-9811. By the way, we were telling some stories on Friday, just out of nowhere, Steve and I were, about our interactions with professional celebrities, Michael Jordan and others, including, in fact, let me just bring in, first of all, Steve Mickelson live from Las Vegas and MixPicks.com, 2Ks and Mix, 2Ks and Picks, MixPicks.com. Steve, who was it that challenged you to the bowling match that you destroyed him in?
Kellen Winslow.
Yeah, because we were talking about it earlier on our regular show, and somebody had said, oh, yeah, well, Steve was challenged by a professional bowler. And I said, no, that was the funny part about the story. It wasn't even a professional bowler. But this, and he was a decent bowler.
He was a decent bowler. He had no idea who I was. And actually what it was is we walked in, and Lionel Little Train James, like, looks at the bowling recap and goes, hey, Kellen. You know, there's this guy here. He's averaging, I think it was 216 or something like that at the time. And Kellen's like, oh, he's no good. You know, I could beat him, and has never seen me throw a shot or anything. And, excuse me, walked up to me and challenged me to $500 a game. And I'm a starving college student. I couldn't, you know, and I've never seen him throw a ball. I mean, he might be really good, like a Mookie Betts or something. You know, and it was one of those, hey, you know, thank you, but no. Went on, and I want to say I shot 670. He shot about 450.
For three games.
Never close. Yeah, for three games. Gave me dirty looks the whole time. But it's cool because Lionel Little Train James, we were talking the whole time. He was a punt returner, kick returner, running back for the Chargers. At one point, he set the record for most all-purpose yards. But so we were talking, he's like, ah, don't worry about it. That's Kellen Winslow. That's just who he is. And we proceeded to bowl. In my mistaken hindsight, the Lions played the Chargers in San Diego that upcoming Sunday. On my part, I should have said, look, Kellen, if I beat you, just give me two tickets to the Lions game. If I lose, you know, congratulations. But I wasn't smart enough to think that at the time. So the Lions play the Chargers in San Diego. It's late in the game. The Lions are winning. And Little Train James returns a punt for a touchdown for the Chargers to beat the Lions. Again, late loss for the Lions, lead most of the game. And we show up the next week, and Little Train comes up to me. He's like, hey, man, I'm so sorry I beat your team. And I'm like, just the fact that he acknowledged that, I know it's not, and it's that, look, yeah, you play for the Chargers, that's your job. And I said, Lionel, if anyone was to beat my team, I'm glad it was you. And he was like, you know, hey, thank you. You know, we continue talking. Great, great guy. Kellen Winslow never said a word to me after he challenged me to the bowling match.
So those stories, amongst others, I talked about what a jerk Joe Morgan was, but a few of you wrote in your stories about having met various celebrities. Thank you. Love them. I wish I had time to get to them today. We are going to read them. We're going to read them. This is one of the challenges of doing the show. Not just that it's limited to an hour, but with everything going on, please don't hesitate to tell us your stories, good or bad, about who you've interacted with. And that brings me to part two of this, full disclosure. I was before the show started, about 10, 15 minutes ago, I was meaning to send Steve a text, which I'm just going to share with everyone right now, which is the way the show is usually crafted. I am woefully unprepared in a very specific way. I watched everything this weekend. I mean, I watched as much sports. My wife was going insane. She couldn't believe all the sports I watched. But usually, I am much more like prepped with the written form of being able to kind of guide the conversation in, here's where we stand with seedings and this, that, and the other thing. And between yesterday and today, life issues, nothing big. Everything's great, kids. Don't worry. It's just today is going to be the epitome of what Steve and I want this show to be. Two guys sitting around that are just talking about sports like they're in a sports bar or a living room, and they don't actually have access to a lot of facts in terms of like, oh, I've got the stat right in front of me. They have access to their brains, their memories, what they saw. things like that. No way to start, in terms of my opinion, with everything going on other than the NBA playoffs. And the first thing, Steve, is I need your help, because this I do have in front of me, because I tried to figure it out yesterday and couldn't. The playoffs don't actually start tomorrow night. The play-in games do. And the NBA actually makes it a point on their website to say, those aren't the playoffs. The playoffs are the numbers 1 through 6 teams in each conference. So the teams that finish top 6 in the East and top 6 in the West, they're in the playoffs. But those don't start until we get these play-in games done, which somehow, Steve, a losing team gets a chance to still make the playoffs. This is where I got confused, because you've got each conference's number 7 seed hosting the number 8 team. The winner gets the 7 seed. Each conference's number 9 team hosts the number 10 team. The winner moves on. The losers there are eliminated. And then there's the losers of the 7 versus 8 matchups host the winner. Why is a loser playing? What? Why isn't it like baseball? You lose, you go home. What? Can you explain this?
Because they're giving credit to the 7th and 8th seeds. The 7th and 8th seed winner automatically is in and is the 7th seed. The loser, though, because they were the A seed, not the 9th or 10th, then we'll play the winner of the 9-10 matchups to give them that second opportunity to win, to make the playoffs, because they did finish 8th. Otherwise, if 9 and 10 automatically the winner that went in, then you're getting penalized for being an 8 seed. You finished ahead of 9. 9 only had to beat 10, which then you would have to have made the playoffs 7 versus 10, 8 versus 9. But they want the best teams in it, because 10 could have beaten 7 and just flat out knocked them out. So that's why they're giving the 7-8 basically 2 chances in order to get in the playoffs. Okay. 9 and 10, you have to win a game. If you're the 9-10 winner, advances to just play another game.
So I can almost tell from the tone in your voice, having known you and worked with you for almost, I don't know, what, 20, 25 years, you like this idea. You agree with the idea. You think it's a cool way to do it.
I think the way they do it is the best they can do it. I still fall into the, okay, great. 20 out of the 30 teams make the playoffs. Ugh. It's kind of watered down. That used to be my complaint with hockey. I've come to accept the wild card games now and all the different sports, being a team fan of, you know, many teams that never quite win their division, but tend to be in the race. So I do like it, and it's growing on me. I'm not a fan of the in-season tournament, because to me, it's more just a waste of time. But with this, it allows some teams, and their goal here was to stop tanking for the NBA, and short of, you know, regulation or whatever it is, the one where the European soccer's relegations, they send the bottom 3 teams or 4 teams down to essentially the minor league teams and bring up the top teams to that. There's really no way to stop tanking. So that's what they're trying to do.
Now, we apologize always if we ever talk past anyone or seem to be glossing over things. We try to do a sports show that assumes mostly sports listeners are listening, but also a lot of people that want to learn. Again, if you finished in the top 6 in either conference, you're in the playoffs. You've got nothing to do for a few days while we figure out who else is going to join you. One of the teams that is trying to figure out if they're going to join you is the Los Angeles Lakers, who did win their season finale last night, but they suffered a blow when center Anthony Davis left the game with a back spasm, and he was already having issues. The Lakers 123-103 win over the Pelicans secured the number 8 seed. I haven't heard an update, Steve. I don't know where AD is, but the Lakers have to play at New Orleans tomorrow night. Do you have an update on AD, and what does it mean that what his status is?
Well, he's a major part of this Lakers team. We all know that. So he needs to play if they're going to feel they have any chance at all. They just finished the season, Lakers at the Pelicans, so nobody's going. They're just staying over in the hotel. Right now, the Pelicans are a 1-point favorite as they've, you know, kind of limped in the playoffs here. They fell out of the 6th seed into the 7th seed. I think it's a really good matchup for the Lakers, though, if they are healthy. They have to be 100% healthy. And AD is a concern because he had that eye injury prior. The last couple of games he was out with the eye injury. But The thing I will say about this, though, is, look, I got a couple of extra days. I got the, you know, the 16th, 17th, what, 18th and 19th to enjoy some more basketball. And to the NBA's credit, the last 2 weeks, all we've done is talk about all the seeding and all the important games. So it really feels like we've been in playoff time for the NBA, at least in the West, for the last 2 weeks. So I think job accomplished for the NBA at keeping fans, you know, interested at the end of the season.
I think all of the leagues have followed the NFL's playbook of figuring out, however you do it, whether it's parity, salary capping, scheduling, whatever, they have figured out how to keep us, you know, are you not entertained from Gladiator through the finish? It's been playoff basketball. And I ain't ever going to complain about more games. I like the whole theory of the whole thing. I want to go back to something you said, though. You like the Lakers if they're healthy. That can be a broad statement, like when you make it with the 49ers. You know, if one guy goes out, the 49ers have so many other guys that could step in. We saw that a few times late last year with Jennings stepping in the receiver role. I'm asking you specifically, when the Lakers are at the Pelicans tomorrow, if AD is out or if AD is lame, like he can barely play, that specifically, is that enough that you say, no, the Lakers don't have a chance?
Almost. LeBron James is still on the court, and that's the part is... Even though I am not going to say LeBron James is the greatest of all time, for me, that still goes to Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. LeBron has to be in that 2 to 3. There's a couple other players you might throw in there. You know, you can argue Magic Johnson to me was just unbelievable. You know, Larry Bird was fantastic. But then you get Bill Russell won all those championships. Yeah. I mean, what, he went 10 out of 12 years?
Come on.
Something insane. Like, so, I mean, it's tough when you get into that next part. But for me, I think it's clearly Michael Jordan. And I know youngers, you know, I'm an older man, you know, and I saw all of Jordan through that, his heyday in his career. So, I mean, I watched a big chunk of Jordan's games, but LeBron on the court is the only reason I'm giving the Lakers a chance, and he's up there in age. So I don't think the Lakers can win if AD does not play.
And you and I we're both boomers to everybody under 40, and I'm with you. And I'm actually no LeBron James fan. I respect the hell out of him in every way, as a father, as a player, as a businessman. I just, there's something about him I don't like him. But you are absolutely right, not only about his talent, but how he shows up and shows out. And, I mean, he can put this team on his back tonight easily. Or, I'm sorry, tomorrow night, if he has to. Which brings us to the other game. By the way, both these games are on TNT tomorrow night. I mean, we're going to talk about this again tomorrow. But, you know, look, we know where we're at now, finally, in the NBA in the West. The Kings are hosting the Golden State Warriors. I'm still with you, Steve. I mean, the Kings have limped into the play-in round. I have very little hope for them to go pretty much anywhere. They're at Golden 1, which is always a help. I could see them beating the Warriors. I don't see the Kings going very far. But your initial reaction, you know, the Warriors, I've mentioned many times, Danny from Tech2U, who's been on the show a few times, he believes the Warriors can be dangerous if they get into the actual playoffs. You don't seem so much to be on that train, but what's your initial reaction to this one?
I'm still at where I said a week ago, week and a half ago. Kings are one and done.
They're out tomorrow.
They are at home. When they lose tomorrow night to the Warriors, their season will be over. Warriors will then advance and play the loser of the Lakers-Pelicans game to see if they get in. So the Warriors are going to have to win two there in order to get in. I'm hoping the Kings, they are at home. I would love to see the Kings knock the Warriors out of the playoffs entirely. It's a shame. I mean, injuries hit. I've been saying all year long, I was not happy with the bench depth that the Kings had. I felt that was a weakness on the team. And at this point with those injuries late in the season, it just shows that lack of bench depth to me has really hurt them.
And so if we went with your initial scenario, the Warriors beat the Kings tonight, then the Warriors play tomorrow night. The Warriors play the loser of the Lakers-Pelicans game. What happens to the winner of the Lakers-Pelicans game?
The winner of the Lakers-Pelicans game is the number 7 seed in the playoffs and will play the Denver Nuggets.
So that's how, that's why I want everyone to understand. There's 14 actual teams, right, in the playoffs, This is the play-in thing, and that's how we get to that, that even number going in. The other news in the Western Conference, since that's where we are, is that Oklahoma City clinched the number one position. They're going to play the winner of the number eight seed. The Nuggets wound up at number two and will play the number seven seed. Timberwolves third, Clippers fourth. Did you have OKC getting the number one seed?
Not a chance. I am stunned when I saw, and I didn't get to watch the game, stunned when the Spurs beat the Nuggets. Nuggets had, I want to say, an 18-point lead at halftime, came out flat, didn't get it done the second half, and lost to the Spurs. Just that was their home court, because then at that point, due to the tiebreakers, I believe they fell to third, but luckily on Sunday, the Timberwolves lost to the Suns, so the Timberwolves fell to three. I did not give the Thunder any shot at being the home court. I thought the game between the Wolves and the Nuggets last week, winner was the team that'd get home court. Nuggets won it. I thought the Nuggets had it in the bag.
If with OKC having the number one seed, does it right now today, this is what's so much fun because we can keep changing our opinions, does it change your opinion about where we're going to wind up with the NBA Finals? Because you got Denver going there.
It is possible. The Thunder have been a great home team. I think they've only lost eight games at home. The only team with a better home record is the Boston Celtics. Again, it was never in my thought process that the Thunder would end up as the number one seed. But the one's going to play the 4-5. I think the Mavericks end up beating the Clippers, and then I think the Mavericks end up beating the Thunder to advance.
All right, we'll promote more of this, talk more about this tomorrow as we get into the, you know, actual game day. And then on Wednesday, we get to the Eastern Conference back in the play-in tournament. Number eight, Miami. That's the team I want to believe in. I want to believe Miami's dangerous if they actually get in. They have to play at the Sixers, and there's all sorts of things going on with the Sixers that are very interesting. And then the late game on Wednesday is the Hawks at the Bulls. That game to me is seemingly meaningless because I don't see the Hawks or the Bulls going anywhere. But man, that Heat 76ers game is fascinating to me.
I agree with you. The winner becomes the seventh seed and will play the Knicks. I'm looking at, love to see the Sixers Knicks in that opening round. The Heat, even if they lose, or the Sixers, even if they lose, I don't see the Hawks or the Bulls, whoever wins that game, beating either of these teams in that. So I think the Sixers are a 4.5-point favorite against the Heat in that game at home. End up winning that game. I think the Sixers end up the seventh seed. The Heat, if they lose that game, they'll still beat the Hawks. Hawks are a 3-point underdog at the Bulls, but I like the Hawks to get the job done there. But I think the Heat will then beat the Hawks and be the eighth seed in the East.
Thank you, by the way, for mentioning the eighth seed, because my brain got ahead of my mouth, or vice versa. I was trying to, when I asked you what happens to the winner of the 7-8 team, because you mentioned the loser will play the winner of the 9-10. I said, well, what happens to the winner? You said, oh, because they become the number seven seed. And I said, right, and that's where we have the 14 teams. And I made it sound like there's only 14 teams. There's 16 teams in the NBA playoffs. This is how we whittle it down to eight from each conference, and this is where it can get confusing, hard to explain, mind-blowing for some, etc. So that's how that all works out, and those games are... Now, so what? You're still not with me on the Heat, like having a chance going deep, are you?
No, I don't see it. I think they're going to be the eighth seed. I think the Celtics are going to take care of business, and I think the Heat will make it, but then I think they'll lose in the first round.
We just got this email, rad@radradio.com, from Adam, who says, is there any way the Kings can get to the seven seed through the play-in and end up playing the Nuggets, which I believe the Kings have won 3 out of 4. I think, didn't the Kings sweep the Nuggets this year?
And to jump to that, no, because they are a 9-10 seed. So the winner of the 7-8 game becomes the seventh seed. The only thing the Kings are playing for is that eight seed. They have to win the first game And then they have to beat the loser of the Pelicans Lakers in the second game. And at that point, they will become the 8 seed. But 7 seed is not an option.
So so it couldn't happen anyways, either way. But I thought they were undefeated against Denver. I could be wrong. Either way, yes, they played great against the Nuggets. We can fact check that during the break. Because the other thing in the Eastern Conference, obviously the Celtics overwhelmingly best record, home court all the way through. I mean, the big story I thought from the East was the New York Knicks leapfrogging all the way to that number two position. The Knicks have been, I mean, hot, Steve, and you've been talking about them.
Jalen Brunson has picked this team up, thrown them on his shoulder, and he is carrying this team. And what a collapse, in a sense, by the Bucks. I mean, they fired their coach because they weren't playing good defense, but they were still playing good basketball. Now Doc Rivers comes in to fix the defense, and right now they're not playing defense, and they're not winning basketball games. So the Bucks, to me, are a very interesting team. I know they lost Giannis here at the end. I'm still waiting for an update to see where he's going to be come playoff time and how healthy he will be. But without Giannis, the Bucks are going nowhere. But even with Giannis, I'm not sure they advance deep.
So my understanding right now is the Bucks will play the Pacers.
And right now,
is okay. That right? Is that how you stay on the schedule? So I mean. Could you see the Bucks losing to the Pacers and going out in the first round?
Yes, this Pacers team can score. They're not very good defensively. They're a lot of fun to watch play. They get the ball up and down the court as fast as they can. It's one of those they want to put up, and it's not a ridiculous, like, I want to put up a shot in 8 seconds type of thing. But they're looking to put up a shot within that 15, 16-second mark of each possession to run it out. We saw them yesterday when they put up 157 in the game yesterday. So, you know, Halliburton's been really good. They got some good players, Turner at center. It's a fun team to watch. I can't take them seriously, though, to go deep in the playoffs.
Okay, so to your questions or to your statements about other sports over the course of the last few months, if the Dodgers don't win the World Series, it's a failure after spending $1.6 billion in the offseason. The Dodgers need to win. If the Cowboys don't go to the Super Bowl, it's a failure, and both Dak and McCarthy, if Dak's even still there, they're gone. So if the Bucks go out, if the Milwaukee Bucks go out against the Pacers, what does that say about their move to fire a winning coach and bring in Doc Rivers?
I want to add a little bit more to that. Let's say that Doc Rivers gets a 3-1 series lead in a 7-game series finds a way to lose it again.
No.
I have a hard time seeing how they would keep him.
Quick fact check. Thank you to my fact checking crew. The Nuggets, they did come back from a 15-point deficit to avoid being swept by the Sacramento Kings. So the emailer was correct. The Kings went 3-1 against the Nuggets this season.
Knicks Picks, the Knicks Picks Sports Show.
I do want to acknowledge Logan. He wrote in over the weekend, RAD@radradio.com, and a couple others did too, about something I've actually mentioned, I've teased, I've alluded to, and it falls under the heading of the way I started the show. First of all, there's so many other pressing things that we have to get to today to maintain our credibility and excitement level, but also because I want to dive just a little bit deeper into, yes, Logan and others that have written in, we are going to talk about the attack on the Major League Baseball pitch clock. And how it is being blamed for everything from injuries to the quality of pitches that are being thrown. I just need another day or two and then the time window for us to spend time on it. So I do appreciate the question. And yes, I promise you we will get to that this week. We know that next week's going to be consumed by the NFL draft. We've got some exciting things coming up that we're going to talk about more tomorrow involving, we're actually going to have some guests on from the other side of the country, which Steve will explain more tomorrow. And we're going to do a special thing around the NFL draft that we'll announce tomorrow as well. As we try to waste as little time today and get back to sports, some people say it's the biggest and the best. It's one of those, again, sports bar arguments. Which of the four major golf tournaments is the biggest? Nobody says the PGA Championship. It's always, well, the British Open because it's the Open, the U.S. Open because it's the U.S. Open, or the Masters, which was this weekend. Scottie Scheffler has been ranked number one in the world for more than 80 weeks. He had won 8 times on the PGA Tour since February of 22, a stretch that saw him become the first golfer ever to win the Players Championship in back-to-back years. But until Sunday, he had only one major championship victory, the 2022 Masters, not last year, but 2 years ago. Last year it was John Rahm. He entered yesterday's final round of the Masters, leading by one shot. He ran away from it. I'm a huge golf fan. I always watch the last day of the majors, even if I don't like anybody that's in contention. And I tuned out of the Masters early because Scheffler was that dominating and everybody fell back. Scottie Scheffler wins his second green jacket. He has won, by the way, in the last 35 days, $12.6 million in winnings on the PGA Tour. And I joke all the time that every time somebody does anything like this, we're all told, next Tiger Woods, next Tiger Woods. I mean, we're littered with you know, the Rory McIlroys and the Jordan Spieths and the everybody else's that are always going to be the next Tiger Woods. I'm not part of that crowd, but I got to give it to Scottie. I didn't think after Friday, Scheffler was going to even make a move, let alone be in the lead come Sunday. Pretty damn impressive, Steve.
Yes, he was very impressive. You know, took care of business when he had to. As far as the media goes and all that, we all know it. Everybody's looking for that next Tiger Woods because they have to have that interest in golf. I talk about all the time how every time Tiger Woods is playing, the interest increases, the viewership increases, sports wagering goes through the roof when Tiger Woods is playing in a tournament. And we all just want someone like that to grasp onto, to follow for 3, 4, 5 years of just dominating golf, making those shots that, you know, we can only dream about. So I'm not there. It would be nice to see happen because I'm looking for someone also to you know, start cheering for on a weekly basis to pique my interest again like Tiger did. But he played great golf. He's playing really well right now. And, you know, he was clearly the favorite going into the tournament, and he showed why.
You know, the way the golf rankings work, which is very boring even for most sports fans, it is very often over the history of the last, 30 years, where the number one ranked golfer in the world isn't the best golfer in the world at the time. It's like he's there because of the way they do the rankings. The old game you play, if you needed one quarterback to save your life or to save your wife's life, who do you start? You assume all things are equal, right? The offensive line, the defense, whatever. You know, do you start Tom Brady? Do you start Joe Montana, who never lost? Do you start Patrick Mahomes? You know, and you're choosing them within their prime kind of thing. If you transfer to golf, now, if we're going to choose them in their prime, I'm going to take Tiger Woods. Right now, today, it's Scheffler or Rahm, and Rahm didn't show up this weekend. I mean, Scheffler is in that zone right now.
He is. He is playing great golf. He has been for a little while here. I still fall back on this, and sorry to go here, but it needs to be one tour. I'm tired of the two tours. We
so right.
need all the best players playing together every single week, not just a portion of them. And that's the problem I have right now. We know when Tiger was winning, he was beating everyone at their best every single week. And with the tour split the way it is, it just, to me, it just takes away from it. So PGA, fix it. Figure out how to compromise whatever we need to do, but let's get all the best golfers in the world playing together again.
There's a series on Netflix. It's called Full Swing. Where they follow the PGA Tour, and they focus each episode on one golfer, but it also features a whole bunch of other golfers along the way. The first season was outstanding. I think it was like a year and a half ago or so. The second season is out now. All of the episodes. And a buddy of mine asked me how far along I am with it. And I told him, I said, I can't get past the first episode. The first episode, I think, I don't even know if it focuses. I don't even know if Rory McIlroy is the guy they're focusing on, but the first episode is endlessly about LIV versus PGA. And it is so almost toxic. I can't get through it. And my buddy said, go to episode two, which I haven't done yet, but that's how, I'm with you, Steve. That's how distracting it is. That's how it's more than annoying. It's something that has to get fixed, and they need to fix it right away. And we've got the biggest golfers in the world saying that from both sides.
Yes, and to hit on your show, I haven't seen it, but to me, that's not what the show should have been about. One of the reasons I never watched the Patriots documentary, you know, with that is because I knew that whole thing would be about Belichick versus Brady, and to me was going to be about painting Belichick in a bad light because he's the one right now that really seems to the media seems to be jumping all over. And I just didn't want to watch that for the sake of, you have to respect what the Patriots did for all of those years. You can't tell me it was solely Brady. You can't tell me it was solely Belichick. They were a perfect marriage. They both brought out the best in each other. And I just didn't want to watch a series that would just sit there and pit the two against each other and make one out to be a villain. And in this case, I didn't watch it. But, you know, to pit the PGA versus the LIV, LIV was formed because of certain things the players felt they were not getting, such as their endorsements, the rights to their image while playing in the tournaments, etc. So they wanted to be able to make more money and various things, and that's the reason it was formed. But now we know it. Let's fix it, PGA.
So let's go all the way back to where you started. That even today, when Tiger Woods plays, the betting goes through the roof. And if I understand you correctly, the betting goes through the roof on behalf of Tiger. It's not just that they're betting. People still, at his age and his condition, are betting on Tiger.
Yes.
Okay.
Without a doubt, Tiger was our highest liability, and it wasn't even close. I've got to believe that for almost every single sports book. For this Masters, we all took the bets because we didn't think Tiger could win. But public just backs him, and just it doesn't matter. That's their guy, and they're going to make wagers on him, and it's great.
And if you're even if you're a tertiary sports fan, we all that moment when he came all the way back and he won the Masters in what 2021, whenever. Oh my God! I mean, what a moment, right? And Phil Mickelson going out at the age of 51. And winning a major makes us all believe Tiger can do it one more time. Well, this weekend, he decided to go the other way. He posted his highest round in his Masters career. He posted his worst 72-hole score in a professional event. Tiger Woods shot 82 on Saturday, 10 over. Now, I'm not playing Augusta. I'm not in a major. I shoot 82 on a good day. And a lot of you out there are like, me too. I mean, that is for any pro. Just unheard of for Tiger, way out there. He played better yesterday, 5 over 77, although he made a triple bogey on the par 4 fifth. He said, though, and I don't know how much of this is Tiger marketing, Tiger arrogance, etc. He said his return to Augusta was a, quote, good week. Remember last week he said, if everything goes right, I can win. In the aftermath of his worst four rounds together as a 72-round ever, he said it was a good week. Quote, I think that coming in here, not having played a full tournament in a very long time, it was a good fight on Thursday and Friday. Unfortunately, didn't turn out the way I wanted to. And then he basically confirmed what we all knew. He's only playing Masters. The next time he's going to play will be next month's PGA Championship. He hinted, all but confirmed, he will play in the U.S. Open and in Scotland in July for the Open. I get it. He's old. He's broken down. I don't know how you win playing that little, even though I know his home is a golf course and all that. It's harder and harder to believe that there's that magic there.
I think that magic left quite a while ago. It's us trying to hold on to it. And if I'm Tiger and I really can't play that often, the majors is where I want to play. Yeah, those are the big events. Of course, I'm going to play those. I was pleased with what transpired with Tiger Woods. And I know everyone was let down on Saturday. Rob, you and I last week were talking when we hit the weather. We thought it would hit Friday. When we found out it was raining and the weather was going to be bad and there was no way he was going to be able to complete his first round, you know, through the 18 holes. So he was going to be playing 23 to 27 holes or whatever.
23,
We knew at that point he had no chance. He played really well on Friday, made the cut. I think in his heart, yes, I think I can compete. But I think he was playing much, much more for let's make the cut, make it, was it 25 straight, you know, to set the record. And at that point, then it's, his body broke down. We saw, we thought it would be Friday with walking that many holes. It came Saturday. He made the cut. That was his bigger goal. He accomplished it. Anything he did after that point to me was just bonus. I'm just glad he didn't quit and walk off the course, because I think that would have sent a bad message. We would have all understood it. Look, too much came out of that day of playing those extra holes, but I'm glad he stayed, even though he didn't play well, and completed, you know, the tournament.
Agreed on all fronts, and I never get to fact check you, so it's 26 cuts made in a row that he set the record at. By the way, you talked about how basketball has been like playoff basketball for the last 2 weeks. Same is true of hockey. That season ends this week, and there's still a little bit of drama left, although one of the big dramas was decided last night. We'll go over that next.
Mix Picks, the Mix Picks Sports Show.
Let's go!
Lest we be accused of not covering as many sports as possible, today was the Boston Marathon, and Cisse Lema of Ethiopia finished first. He finished in 2 hours and 6 minutes and 17 seconds. That is the 10th fastest time in the race's 128-year history. Now, on to the NHL. Your Las Vegas Golden Knights, Steve, beat the Minnesota Wild 7-2 Friday night and clinched a playoff berth for the sixth time in seven seasons. Unbelievable for an expansion team. Golden Knights will get a chance to defend their Stanley Cup championship after their win, combined with the Blues' 5-2 loss, puts Vegas in the second wild card spot in the Western Conference, 1 point behind the Kings. So let's start first just with the Las Vegas Golden Knights. You had them going the whole time, and we know everybody that's going to go into the playoffs now for the Western Conference from the NHL. This play out how you expected?
Yes, the Western Conference has the Eastern Conference, though, is still really up for grabs.
But so the West, so you had the Knights getting in the whole time. As we look at the West, can they defend their title? I mean, anything can happen. That's why we play. Are they in a position to legitimately defend their title, or are you looking at this and going, man, we got the Stars and the Jets and the Canucks and in the West?
If they are healthy, and Mark Stone is supposed to be back, I have not read up on his status and how healthy he is going to be, but if they can get healthy for this postseason run, yes, they made some big trades during the course of the season, and NHL teams were also a little bit worried here because the salary cap only counts for the regular season. So when you have a player who's got a long-term injury, you're able to remove that salary from the salary cap. And that allowed the Knights to go out and acquire a couple of players to really help their team for the playoff run. They fit it under the cap. But now that the playoffs are over, players like Mark Stone, whose salary has been removed, go back on the team and they don't readjust the salary. So many NHL teams are claiming, and it's going to be interesting in the next contract negotiation with the players in the league, that the Golden Knights are going to exceed the salary cap, but it doesn't count, thus manipulate that cap situation to put them in a great position for postseason, which as a Golden Knights fan, been sitting back going, all right, you know, this is great. We'll keep them on the injured list into the playoffs so we can add to our payroll and get better players and then go into the playoffs fully healthy. And we saw at the beginning of the season, I mean, this team was, you know, came out, won what, 5, 6, 7, 8 games in a row to start it off. They are a legitimate team. They're the defending Stanley Cup champions. And if they're healthy with the moves they've made, they can, I believe, make a deep run.
They are such a well-managed, well-run team. It's really impressive. Is that your way of saying, Steve, that in the Western Conference there isn't that team that you think is like, you good luck getting through there? Like, there's not that one team you're going, these guys, they've got it. They almost, but all have it locked up.
I think it's open. I still, on rosters being healthy, I still think the Stars are the best team in the West. I really believe the Knights are the second best. And I know we're looking at an eighth seed here. Colorado has their issues. They're not playing well right now. I've really all season long put Colorado at number three in that. Then you have the Oilers. If they can keep their goaltending playing good, their defense, you know, getting the job done. I don't really take the Kings or the Predators that serious. And I just, something about the Jets. Yes, they're a good team. But for me, they just remind me of the Buffalo Bills. They're a good team. They're not quite there, and they always find a way to lose to somebody.
So same thing with the NHL. Ultimately, 16 teams get in, 8 from the East, 8 from the West. We know the 8 from the West. That's done. And we all know where they're seated. But the East, we only know, we know 6 that are in, although even the seeding is goofy. We know the Bruins, the Panthers, the Maple Leafs from the Atlantic of the Eastern Conference, they are guaranteed in. The New York Rangers, the Carolina Hurricanes are guaranteed in. The Islanders sit in the third spot, but they're not guaranteed in, but the Tampa Bay Lightning are guaranteed into the playoffs. So you got the Islanders, the Capitals, and the Red Wings. Let me ask you this first, Steve. The other two teams not eliminated mathematically. Do you give the Flyers or the Penguins a chance when the season ends on Thursday? Or can we eliminate them from the conversation?
I've been eliminating the Flyers from the get-go, and right now we have two games remaining, but the Flyers only have one. Mm-hmm. So the best they can do is pick up 2 points where all the other teams have a possibility of picking up 4. So I throw the Flyers out immediately. I don't even consider them. The Capitals.
What about Pittsburgh, though? Pittsburgh's the other one.
I keep Pittsburgh still in it. I think they still have a shot. The Red Wings play back-to-back against the Canadiens. They play at home, and then they play on the road. The Canadiens are not a very good team. I am just praying the Red Wings figure out how to win both of those games, and if they do, I believe they will be the wild card team.
You're in Vegas, and the Golden Knights are your adopted second team. Because that's your hometown. The Red Wings are your original team, and you just alluded to it. They play back-to-back, and there's hockey tonight. There's a reason to watch sports tonight, and they're at home. So what do you – so you pray they'll beat them both. How do you feel about the Red Wings tonight at home against Montreal?
I would be surprised if the Red Wings did not win tonight. I believe they're going to win tonight. I'm just – and this goes to my nature of all my sports teams. And keep in mind, I know the Red Sox in the 2000s have been fantastic, but you got to remember for most of my life, the Red Sox, you know, the curse of the Bambino surfs. So I always, with my teams, I'm looking for that shoe to drop. And that's my fear. They win tonight. All we got to do is win in Montreal. The last game of the season. No, we'll find a way to lose it.
Okay, so you're keeping Pittsburgh in the conversation. They've got to play at home tonight, but they're playing against Nashville, who is already guaranteed in. They are in from the West. At what point does Nashville care? Does this give Pittsburgh an advantage? They're at home. They're playing Nashville. Is this why we're keeping them in the conversation?
Nashville has nothing to play for, and Pittsburgh isn't home. They do have the experience. They're not the team that we've known over the last several years. Well, they've been the last couple of years, the Penguins that we've known. So they don't really have anything to play for. So, you know, the Penguins aren't going to lay down here. The game's close to pick 'em tonight. And who did they play on the last game?
Pittsburgh plays, he asked, because he knows I do have it in front of me. They play on Wednesday at the Islanders, which and that's going to matter.
The Islanders aren't going anywhere. There's not a whole lot there. They got to do is tie a couple of games or whatever, and they stay in that same seat. So you don't know how motivated the Islanders are going to be on Sunday either. So it's very possible the Penguins get two teams that are just looking to rest and be as healthy as they can rolling into the playoffs.
So mathematically, the Islanders are not guaranteed, but they are basically guaranteed is what you're saying.
As in they are in, I just don't see them go full collapse and fall into the wild card as opposed to the three seed.
What about Washington? The Capitals are right there in the mix, and tonight you want to talk about again. The Boston Bruins, first place, Atlantic of the Eastern Conference. What does Boston have to play for? Does that give Washington an advantage?
You would like to have Boston to have clinched that first place. They're only a point ahead of the Panthers. The Panthers are playing really well. They're won three straight. So the Bruins are trying to hold on to first place in that Atlantic division. So I don't expect them to be laying down at all. They're going to finish the season strong, which plays against the Capitals in that spot, because then I believe the Capitals play the Flyers, which is the Flyers' last game. So if the Capitals lose to the Bruins, and it's possible that they do, then they play Capitals, Flyers. One team is going to be eliminated out of that. You like to believe somebody's going to win a game somewhere else. And if they lose tonight, if they go and lose to the Flyers, lose these last two games, I think the Capitals get knocked out.
And again, those are back-to-back games for Washington. They play tonight, and then they play at Philadelphia tomorrow. Somehow we got it all in. You're caught up to where everything that matters, and we can start over again in 23 hours. I will talk to you then, Steve.
Thank you.
This Masters will mark Burns' 40th and final call behind the CBS microphone.
It is the best run golf tournament in the world with the best patrons in the world. I said to myself, keep it simple and get out of the way.
Maybe. Yes, sir!
I really am hoping to see Jack and just say thank you very much.
In your life, have you seen anything like that?
Mixed Picks Sports Show.